Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible tonight. Let's go to the New Testament, the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, believe it or not, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll take one verse, as we've been doing now for about 6 weeks before this. And we'll dwell on that one verse just a little bit, okay? Exhortations that God gives us, all right? And he gave them to a New Testament church in Thessalonica about 2,000 years ago. And they're still good today, all right? Still good. Every one of them are good for us. So if you will, look in verse 20, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20. Just three simple words: despise not prophesying. Amen. Despise not prophesying. There's two words in our text that kind of call for our attention. And I want you to look at them tonight. That first word is despise. The word despise means to look down on with contempt and to regard as worthless or distasteful. Now, the second word that I want to draw your attention to is that word prophesying. Normally, when we think of prophesying, we think of someone who is foretelling the future. All right? That's normally what we think of. But that word also conveys the sense, and in this case it does, it refers to the exposition of the Word of God. In other words, it refers to what we call preaching, all right? It refers to what we call not just telling, foretelling the future, but telling forth the Word of God. So, and that's what we're looking at. So what our text is exhorting us not to do is to not look down upon preaching or to regard preaching as worthless or distasteful, all right? And you say, preacher, who in the world would do it? Well, I'll submit to you that's exactly what many have done and are doing in our day. When it comes to the preaching of the Word of God, preaching does not hold the place and the position that it once did in Christian life. People do not look at preaching the way they used to. Preaching's kind of been cast aside in favor of communication or sharing or even degenerated some kind of rapping, if you will, with the audience, with the hearers that are there. And we no longer do. We refer, I'll never forget, I was at a meeting one time in a place that used to be a bastion for the preaching of the Word of God, and they introduced the speaker, who I had no idea, never heard of him, didn't know of him, and they introduced him as a wonderful communicator. Now, I don't know about him. I'll be honest with you, I'm not interested. I don't want to be a wonderful communicator. I just want to be a preacher. That's what God called me to be, is a preacher, and so I'm in favor of that, all right? But the truth is, many people no longer want to hear a preacher get up and declare the truth of the Word of God. There's less and less desire for that. Instead, what the majority, I think, of people in our day want is somebody to get up that can tell them how to use the Bible to further their life and to make them have a better life. But not so much, here's what God says you need to do. We're not interested in that. And as I hate to say it this way, as one said years ago, they're looking for a sermonette for Christianettes that want to smoke cigarettes, all right? And I heard that years ago. Don't remember who I heard it from. It's not original with me, but I think a lot of times that's what we want, you know. I never forget years ago making a visit down on Dunson. And a fellow had come and visited church, and I went to see him. I was there, and his sister-in-law was there. And we, in the course of the conversation, she said, I just don't want a preacher yelling at me. And the more I found out about her, the preacher would have had a lot to yell about, okay? But she didn't want that. Now, I want to say this to you. Regardless of the darkness of the day, regardless of the wickedness of those that claim to be worshipers or the carnality of the congregation, we're exhorted by the Holy Spirit and by God Himself to despise not prophesying. The Bible believer has plenty of reasons to follow that exhortation. Now, I just want to give you some of them tonight, okay? I want to give you, say, why should we not despise prophesying? Well, the easiest one, will clear it, because the Bible says not to. The Bible says, and if nothing else was in the Bible about it, that's enough. That's enough. You know, people today want 47 reasons for doing right. Or 47 reasons for doing this. Hey, if God says it and He says it once, just do it. Just do it, all right? And if He says once, don't do it, then don't do it, all right? Don't do it. Don't be like kids when you tell them something. Why? Why? God's told us. He said, you just do it. We don't need the why, all right? But here's some whys of why you shouldn't despise the preaching of the Word of God. Take your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is the one that just stands out, and we need to look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look, if you will, down in verse 21. Here's what the Bible says to us. It says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hey, the first reason you ought not to despise prophesying is because preaching pleases God. Preaching pleases God. You know, it's pretty hard to miss that truth. I know this old English, the old King James Bible, and it's so hard to understand. But there's not a one of you sitting here have a problem with that. We understand exactly what it says, all right? And you can say what you will about preachers and preaching, but God tells us that the world couldn't know God by wisdom. By wisdom, the world couldn't know God. So God, in His wisdom, decided to use preaching to reach the wise man. And preaching will help the fool too, all right? It'll help them both. So God chose to use this. It was His choice. And the Bible said it pleases Him when somebody preaches the Word of God. You say, wait a minute, it says it's foolishness. I know. That there's a lot about preaching you could argue that it is foolishness, all right? But look, if you will, that same chapter, drop down to verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You know, I can't help but just interject this here. It's not in my notes anywhere, but I can't help but interject it. That's why God, I think, does what He does and made some of the creation that He made. The world out there preaching and teaching and calling forth and bragging and magnifying the theory of evolution. And God just put something in there that evolution, no way in the world it can explain it. Never explain it in a million years. But God put it out there. And we look at it. We think about it. Think like the bumblebee. The bumblebee shouldn't be able to fly, but it does. It does. Why would God make a bumblebee? You know, there's all kinds of other things He could have done. But man, I think some of those things, He just puts them out there to confound the wise. To confound the wise. So, yep, God chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's why He chose preaching to do it. That's why He chose preaching. Those who exalt man have a hard time when God can use something as foolish as preaching to bypass the wisdom of man. You think about it, all right? Think about it. When God can use something as foolish as preaching. And by the way, I've heard some foolish preaching in my life. I've heard some I thought, man, you got to be kidding. All right? But there it is, okay? But God, it's amazing what God uses. Amazing what God uses. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to despise what pleases God. I'm just not going to despise what pleases God. Not going to do it. Secondly, I want you to see this same chapter, same verse, verse 21. I want you to notice again that verse. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hey, preaching is so important because it leads to salvation. It leads to salvation. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, would you? Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just this one verse here, verse 5, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Notice, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Hey, preaching leads to salvation because what we preach is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You're talking about the difference? He's the difference. He's the difference. I preached to you this morning, His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient, all right? His payment for sin, sufficient. Sufficient. He died. He tasted death for every man. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about how you ought to live. We say we ought to live like Jesus. You ought to live like He did, all right? You want a pattern to follow? Don't follow me. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. Follow Him. He's the pattern. He's the example. We preach Him. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ beyond a shadow of a doubt. Hey, that's why preaching leads to salvation, all right? If you're saved tonight, if you're saved, it's because somebody at some point in time preached to you. Somebody preached to you. Now, it could have been in a building like this. Could have been in a church auditorium. Where somebody got up behind the pulpit, opened the Word of God, said, turn to chapter so-and-so and book so-and-so, and then opened up the Word of God and expounded on it and preached the Word of God to you, and you got saved. On the other hand, it could have been somebody knocked on your door and stood in front of you and said, listen, I'd like to talk to you about my Lord. Do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? Now, they don't have to follow the Romans road. They don't have to follow the John road. Hey, but it's got to be the biblical road, all right? They preached to you, and you got saved. Why? Because somebody preached to you. Man, could I just say this? I'm not going to despise that which brought me from darkness to light. Not going to do that. Not about to do that. Thank God somebody preached to me, and I heard and I called on the Lord, and He saved my soul. I'm glad of that. Glad of that. Hey, so preaching's important. Don't despise it. Don't despise it. Why? Because it's Him. It's all about Jesus Christ. It pleases God. It'll bring salvation. But not only that, look in Acts chapter 24, would you? Acts chapter 24 tonight. Acts chapter 24. Y'all look like y'all are listening fast, so I'm preaching fast. We might get out early tonight, all right? Acts chapter 24. Look, if you will, one verse here. Acts 24, verse 25. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's preaching. He's preaching to Felix. And as he reasoned, this is in Acts 24, 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. Now, I want you to notice what's happening. Paul was preaching. And when he preached, the Bible said, Felix trembled. Now, I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart, he wasn't trembling out of excitement. He wasn't trembling out of anger. He was trembling out of conviction. And that's why preaching is so important. It brings conviction. It brings conviction. And in the case of Felix, it was Paul's preaching that brought that. It caused him to tremble. It shook him up. Literally shook. I've talked to people, and in presenting the gospel to them, I've seen them shake just a little bit before. Why? Convicting power of God on them. And it wasn't my wisdom. It's what the Word said. It's what the Bible had. Because I was giving them the Word of God. Then look in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, down in verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Why'd that come about? Conviction. Conviction. Man, the convicting power of God began to move because of the preaching, and the preaching of the Apostle Paul brought that conviction upon him. He had that conviction, his need of salvation. He realized, this is what I need. I need to be born again. And he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Hey, he needed to go a little bit further than almost, all right? But it was conviction. I don't know about you, but I thank God for every time he's brought conviction to me and in my life through the preaching of the Word of God. I can remember as a teenager, that's going to sound stupid, but remember, I was a teenager. Teenagers are stupid, all right? Sorry, Sarah. The truth hurts, okay? Teenagers just don't have it all together like they'd like to convict you. They do, all right? And then I remember going to youth camp and planning to resist the preaching of the Word of God. You said, how could you be so dumb? I was a teenager. But you know, I knew this. I knew going in, I know when I get to camp and that preacher gets up and preaches, I'm going to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because they're preaching this book. They're preaching this book. Man, I'm glad God brought that conviction. I'm glad every time God has brought conviction upon my life and has talked to me and spoken to me about, hey, that preacher's right and you need to get right. Thank God for that conviction. Hey, it's conviction that'll cause you to change your way. Conviction, that'll cause you to change your way. Hey, you'll get rid of that old nasty habit. Why? Conviction. Conviction. You'll decide, I'm not going to live that way anymore. Why? Conviction. Conviction. Hey, it's the conviction that'll cause us to remain faithful to our God in a wicked, compromising day. Why? Conviction of the Holy Spirit from preaching. And we realize, going in, we realize immediately, hey, this is what God wants me to do. And I'm under conviction because of the preaching of the Word of God. And thank God for that conviction. I don't want to get away from it. I don't want to stop it. I want it. I want God to speak to me. I'm not a teenager anymore. I don't go to church saying, okay, I'm going to this meeting, but I ain't going to go forward. I don't do that anymore. I go and say, Lord, would you speak to me? Would you just deal with me? Deal with me. Now, by the way, I found it's a lot better than to go that way because at youth camp, I always wound up under conviction and always wound up getting forward and getting things right, okay? But it didn't have to be so bullheaded about it, you know? Didn't have to do that. Thank God. You know something? I don't know about you, but I'm not going to despise that which will keep me walking straight. Not going to despise that. Why would you despise that conviction? We ought not to despise it. We ought to come to church and it ought to be, Lord, search me. Search me. Know me. Search my heart. Lord, if there's any evil thing, any wicked way, point it out. Let me get right with you. Let me get right with you. When the Word of God is preached, you shouldn't find yourself in an attitude of arguing within yourself about what's being preached. If it's the Word of God, you ought to humble yourself, say it, I'm just going to get right with you. I'm going to get right with Him. Now, there's another reason. Take your Bible, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, would you? Hey, despise not prophesying. 2 Timothy chapter 4, would you look at verse 1? The Apostle Paul, okay, he's writing under the inspiration of God. And he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Communicate the word. Oh, that's not what my Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that at all. The Bible says preach the word. Preach the word, all right? Preach it. Preach it. the word of God, we ought not to despise it because the man of God is commanded to preach the word. I'll tell you what we ought to despise. We ought to despise the man that claims to be a man of God that won't preach the word. Now that's what we ought to despise. Let's despise that man that's called to be a man of God and claims to be, but he won't preach this word. Won't take a stand on it, all right? I've heard them interview some guys that claim to be preachers, and they would ask them a point-blank question, and they would not answer that question. They wouldn't take the Word of God and say, well, this is what the Bible says. They skirted the question by saying, oh, well, I'm going to just leave that up to God. You're a fake. You're a fake. Hey, a man of God's commanded to preach the Word. God used Paul to mentor Timothy in the ministry. And he's charging him here that he preach, not communicate, not share, not cause to cope, okay? But preach. Amen. Preaching's what commanded, all right? And you say, what in the world is preaching? Well, it's taking the Word of God, open it up, and giving it forth, all right? And allowing the understanding and revealing that understanding that is there, all right? But with the Word of God. We're not to get up and preach, well, I think. It's okay every now and I think for a preacher to say, I think. But that's not what counts. What counts is what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Your conviction ought not to be what my preacher says. Your conviction ought to be the Bible says. And I know that because the preacher's preached it to me, all right? He's preached it to me. It's there. Preaching was the command. Hey, by the way, the content wasn't left for debate either. He didn't say preach what you want to. Preach what you think fits. Or preach what you think people will take. He said you preach the word. You preach the word. The word. Why? Because that's what the world needs. That's what the world needs. Hey, and it's what God demands. It's what God demands. I've told people lots of times, you know, you go out and you want to be a witness, say, well, I don't know how to do it. The best thing to do is give people as much of the Word of God as you can. Just give people as much of the Word of God as you can. Because it's this book that God's promised to bless. It's not my fluency. My ability to mold and to make an argument. No, it's this book. It's this book. And we'll do our best to give that out, all right? It's what the world needs. Can I say this to you? Anything less is disobedience. Let me say that one more time. Anything less is disobedience. If you don't preach the word, it's disobedience. It's disobedience. Now, you can give a wonderful soliloquy, and people can say, man, that was amazing. That was amazing. Hey, you can draw crowds, but it doesn't impress God if you're not preaching the word. Doesn't impress God. And by the way, it's disobedient if you're not. Can I say one more time, I'll not despise what God commands. I'm just not going to despise that. I'm not going to low-rate preaching. I'm not going to say, well, it's distasteful. Hey, a lot of people that don't like, they'll accuse it of the preacher, but it's not the preacher they got problems with. It's what's being preached. It's what's being preached. Man, and finally tonight, the fifth thing, I believe we ought not despise preaching because preaching points out the truth. Remember what he said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word. That word, the Bible said, thy word is truth. So when you're preaching a biblical message, and that's the only kind that's really preaching, you can talk, but you're not preaching. Now, maybe it's a good thing they call some of these characters, communicators. Because they're not preaching. They're not preaching. Because they're not preaching the Bible. But if you're preaching the Bible, what you're doing is pointing out the truth. The truth. The world needs that truth more than it ever has, I believe. Because I believe we stand the day in the situation that the prophet in the Old Testament prophesied, truth has fallen in the streets. Truth has fallen in the streets. And what we have today is, how do you feel? How do you feel? I mean, we'll work up sympathy for an individual. Work up sympathy for an individual. Oftentimes people do that, and you'll see them working. Movies are made to get you to sympathize with a disobedient, ungodly individual. You just name me the last time you remember seeing on any kind of television show or whatever that depicted a preacher that was a preacher of the Word of God in a positive light. I can't name a single one. Now, if you're just kind of mealy-mouthed, good old boy, and you don't make any waves, yeah, that's okay. If you're given the social gospel and the social view of everything, oh yeah, man, we'll brag on that guy. But hey, we're talking about somebody that takes the Word of God and gets up. And I'm tempted to say leather lung, but you don't have to be leather lung. I don't believe you have to shout and scream. Now, is that okay to do it sometimes? Okay, have at it, all right? But I don't believe that's got to be all the time, every way. But we need to give that truth. The world has forgotten what the truth is. And we look at things today. You want to aggravate somebody in an argument? You just bring in the Bible. Well, the Bible says, wait a minute, we're not interested. Yeah, I know. But the Bible says. The Bible says. I find myself more and more in opposition to anything that's popular in our day. Anything. Anything that society is pushing, I find myself, I'm against it. I'm against it. And I look at things and I go, how in the world? Well, truth's fallen in the streets. Somebody needs to step up and say, this is what God says. This is what God says. Well, preacher, you know, I just feel like if two people really love each other, it doesn't matter if they're both the same sex and it's okay. Well, you can say that all you want to, but God says different. God says different. You know, I argued this back there when they were arguing about passing the law to okay and to, codify same-sex marriage. I said Congress has no business fooling with it. That's not their call. God's already called it. He says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and to be joined unto his wife, they two will be one flesh. And as we say it over and over, it was Adam and Eve. It wasn't Eve Yvonne. It was Adam and Eve. Hey, that's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. You say, well, I don't like it, and I think times have changed. But the truth hasn't. The truth hasn't changed. Hey, the world needs the truth. The world needs the truth. But man, people today more and more despise the prophesying, despise the preaching of the Word of God. I just say this in closing. God help us not to despise prophesying. God help us to not be opposed and to despise the preaching of the Word of God. Instead, rather let us receive it. Amen. Receive it. Hey, by the way, encourage it. Encourage it. You say, well, I'm not going to be vocal. I'm not going to say amen. Well, could you at least nod your head rather than shaking it? Amen. Nod your head. Yeah, preacher, I'm with you there. Go to it. Encourage the preaching of the Word of God. Support it. Can I go beyond that? You ought to demand it. You ought to demand it. Hey, I want the Word of God preached to me. Preach it. If I invite somebody to come in to preach to us, I want them to preach. I want them to preach. I don't want them to come in and just give us a little talk, you know. No, preach. Preach. Now, there's different styles of preaching. I like some styles better than other ones. But as long as you preach, I'm with you, okay? Just preach, all right? Let me say this, whoever would replace preaching with anything else, whoever would replace preaching with anything else is guilty of despising the proclamation of the Word of God. Anybody. They say, well, we're going to have the drama team. You're despising preaching. And, we need to understand that. We need to understand. The Word of God says, despise not prophesying. Well, we ought to be people who love preaching. I'll be honest, you can't preach it too hard for me. If I can't say amen, I can at least say, oh me, all right? If I can't say, that's right, preacher, you tell them. I sometimes have said, preacher, would you tell them and quit telling me? Talk to that other guy over there for a while. Let me be just for a little bit. No, we need that. We need that. Hey, encourage it. Encourage it. Stand for it. Demand it. The reason today so many churches have shifted and gotten away with it is because the people didn't stand up and demand preaching. They demand. You got saved because somebody preached to you and the conviction of the Holy Spirit got a hold of you. I'm standing here tonight because years ago, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and God said, I want you to preach. Hey, that's why I'm here. Hey, you're what you are because of conviction. If you took the preaching, you listened to it, you accepted it, you didn't brush it off, you didn't brush it aside, and you didn't forget it, but you took it and got it in you, it's made you what you are as a child of God. If you're not what you ought to be as a child of God, it's because you didn't take the preaching. You didn't yield to that conviction. You held back long enough till the Lord maybe slacked off on you. Or you got a little bit hard. Man, I don't ever want to do that. Don't want to allow that to happen. Let's despise not prophesy. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. We know what the Bible says.